Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Celebrating 6 years is radio's small business superhero. He's a syndicated radio host, syndicated columnist, author of two books, and all-around nice guy.
He's everywhere! He's everywhere!
The most fantastic crime fighter the world has ever known.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after. 800-531-3815, and our website is www.jbsba.com. Don't forget to subscribe to our letter. It comes every week by email. We're now in our fifth year. We've just finished 4 years of the Small Business Advocate newsletter, and so check that out when you get a chance. Join the happy throng of more than 10,000 people who are subscribing to the letter. Mike Stewart is our guest and our good friend, ladies and gentlemen. He's an international speaker. He's a professional sales trainer. He's a consultant to companies large and small all over the country and halfway around the world. He's the president of Stewart & Stewart Incorporated, which is a company that focuses on performance development. And a lot of the things that they work on is something we're going to talk about today, which is change. He's also the author of a book called Close More Sales. But more importantly, he's our good friend. Mike Stewart, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Jim. It's always a real pleasure for me to be here with you.
It's good to have you back, as always. Mike, I remember the days, and I think you're almost as old as I am. I remember the days when we had to change something, when we were forced to make a change in our businesses. We would do it, and we'd get it out of the way, and it was something that was sort of like homework. You know, you got it out of the way, and now it's done. And boy, I'm glad I don't have to deal with that much for a while. But now, today, in the 21st century, that, you know, that as someone said to me once, that was a nice trip down memory lane. It's not like that anymore. We have to deal with change every day, don't we?
Yes, we do. And Jim, it's constant. Change is constantly with us. And it continues to pick up pace. But, you know, we take a little different view, perhaps, of change than lots of folks. You know, when I look at what's in the marketplace out there from the standpoint of who's speaking about it and who's writing about it and the books that I see about it, most of the focus seems to be on how to implement change. And by the implementers, I mean those who, excuse me, are the managers, but it's not there's not much out there from the standpoint of the implementers, those who must actually make the change happen down at the employee level.
So are you saying that most of the stuff you're seeing is more about manipulating our employees into helping us get the change done or than it is helping them be change agents?
I don't know that I would use the word manipulation at all. Some people think that there's a certain degree of that in management. But I think it's more about leading change. And most of the entrepreneurs and the managers that I know are more concerned about creating a change culture and leading change, but it's from a standpoint of a formulaic approach where people look at different formulas and look at different steps and look at different ways to evaluate and analyze their employees. And, you know, from that standpoint, some people do, I think, feel that that's manipulative.
Mm-hmm.
You began the conversation talking about how old we are and how simple change used to be. And, you know, I think in looking back, we may feel that it was that way in retrospect. But if we, you know, when we look back, change did not occur at the velocity that it does today. Also, there was far few things that were changing.
Right.
You know, if we made a change in the way we, for example, in the business that we were in, if we made a change in the way we processed information for our clients, it was a drastic event, and people struggled to get through it, and we had the same kind of resistance then that we have now, and we had the same kind of feelings involved that we have now, except maybe we'd make one change in a quarter or one change in, you know, a month or 6 months.
Or if we made a change, we could expect it to have a life of at least a year.
Well, yes, and we also we accepted the fact that it took a while to get that accomplished.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm thinking about some of the simple changes that we would make. At the time, they weren't simple. But in looking back, you know, we'd allow 3 months for those changes to go into effect.
Well, and we wouldn't mind it so much because we knew that once we got them installed, we could use them for a while.
For a long period of time, that's
right.
We
were more patient with our change because we knew we were going to get more out of them. But today, it's not like that, is it?
Well, in many instances, it's not. But when you look at it from the viewpoint of the employee, it's not. Because, you know, the impression is, you know, we're always changing things around here.
Mm-hmm.
And the feeling is, you know, this is just another one, and, you know, they didn't stick with the last one. I really like your article in your current issue. And you talked about change being sustainable.
Yeah.
And,
Mike, hold on to that thought. We're going to come right back to this, folks. Change from the employee standpoint with our good friend Mike Stewart, the author of Close More Sales. Stay with us. We'll be right back. It's 20 till.
I'm just beginning to see.
We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for hanging around with us today. Mike Stewart is our guest. He's the author of Close More Sales. Mike, give us your website, please.
MikeStewartSeminars.com.
Right.
Stewart with a Stewart.
Right, and that's MikeStewartSeminars.com, and they can find the book there, right?
They can, and they can also access another website of ours that's very important. It's sales-assessments.com.
All right, what's there?
Information on pre-assessment of sales candidates, pre-hiring assessments of sales candidates.
So if I have a salesperson that I'm thinking about hiring, I can go to that website and kind of get an idea about whether he or she is the right person for the job?
Yes, you can. And, you know, the single most important characteristic shared by salespeople, successful salespeople, is that they initiate contact with prospective buyers in greater numbers than those who are not as successful.
Mm-hmm.
And we've talked about this before. Our specialty is assessing and overcoming sales call reluctance. That's the hesitation
right.
to initiate contact. And all the sales training and development in the world is of little value if people don't make the calls.
That's right. You can't. You may be the best closer in the world, but you're not. If you don't know how to open, you're not going to be able to close.
That's exactly right.
Now, Mike, if I get to that website, you're telling me that I can do an assessment there? Does a prospective employee do this, or do I do it if I go?
Well, you know, it's really interesting. It's designed for the individual, but we call it the prospecting EKG. You know, how's your heartbeat?
Right.
And so there's a series of questions, and by answering those, you get some good idea of the presence and severity of call reluctance that you may have.
Right.
It's not the actual assessment. It's an indicator. And an owner who's concerned about the performance of a salesperson can go on there and respond to that mm-hmm. quiz as he would think that the employee would and
right.
get a good feel for that. So
now,
it can be
And you're making that available for free?
Absolutely.
Well, thank you for that. Folks, take advantage of that. I mean, I didn't know you were doing this, Mike, but I mean, I'm not surprised, but I really appreciate you making that available to my audience because that could be worth a lot. So check that out. Now, give us the website again.
sales-assessments.com.
And, folks, there's nothing sinister, you know, with my brain trust members, especially Mike Stewart, there's nothing sinister about this. This is just a genuine good faith offer, and so I encourage you to check that out. Mike, let's get back into the change from the employee standpoint. What are some
Excellent.
Other things? I think you were about to say something about that.
Yes, and the steps that are outlined in the current issue of the Small Business Advocate newsletter are valid steps. I mean, you know, these are very typical of what I see when I look at how to manage change. Books and how to manage change programs and seminars. You know, the employer or the manager has got to take certain steps to create a culture of change, to establish expectations and provide skills and all that. That's necessary. It's called leadership, and it's called management. But what I see not happening is that managers don't really understand what the employee is going through, and particularly the feelings that they're experiencing during this period of change. And you don't move from where you are, like we call it now. You know, now is our current position. Generally, it's a comfort zone, and we're not aware of how comfortable it is until it's threatened. You know that old saying down here that, you know, you never miss the water till the well runs dry.
That's right.
And so people are, they're not fat, dumb, and happy. People are reasonably content and productive in their present role.
Mm-hmm.
And they may intellectually see a need to do something different or do something a different way, but that's in their head. And change from the employee standpoint, in my opinion, from the person who's making the change, from their standpoint, change is far more emotional than it is intellectual.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And they don't move from now to new, if you follow that, directly. What they do is they're forced out of now, don't do that anymore, into an area that's called the neutral zone by some people.
Mm-hmm.
There's a great deal of work on change by William Bridges, and he refers to it as the neutral zone. My co-author and I refer to it as the struggle, and it's where people, it's like the land between. You know, it's in between. There's mm-hmm. nothing in there to hold on to. And the key to, intellectually, the key to making that change is to let go of what you were holding on to back at the present and reach out to the next level. And while you're doing that, there's nothing to hold on to. It's like you remember walking
on the
monkey.
It's frightening. Change is frightening for folks. And as you said, intellectually, and as I've written in the abstract, most of us believe that change, that you know, everybody's agreeing with us. Nobody is saying, no, I disagree with you that, you know, when things aren't changing, you don't have to deal with change. Nobody's doing that. Everybody knows change is a reality. But when we actually have to do it from a practical standpoint, from an emotional standpoint, it's bitter medicine that we don't want to take, even though we might know we need it.
Well, and we don't move away. You know, we don't leave behind. There's a quote that says, business life is personal life in a different setting.
Yeah, I agree. And folks, one of the things we're going to do when we come back with Mike, we're going to talk some more about how to make sure that our employees are on board with this change. Don't forget, we can't make changes by ourselves. We have to have the support of the people around us, of our stakeholders. Tintail, stay with us. We'll be right back with Mike Stewart. We're back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. And ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about change with our good friend Mike Stewart. I want you to know, Mike mentioned something about my newsletter. The article this week is about change. It's called A Time for Everything, Including Change. And so if you subscribe to my free newsletter, you'll still get that article this week when we send you your copy. So just go to jbsba.com and you'll find all the opportunity there to subscribe. It's actually on a button on the right of the homepage. Mike, we've got all these things to do, all these changes to make, all these things to accomplish. And just like we can't reach all of our customers by ourselves, we can't count all the beans by ourselves, we can't, you know, answer all the phones by ourselves, we got to have our stakeholders to help us with that. We got to do this. We got to think the same thing with change, don't we? We have to make sure that our employees, our stakeholders, are involved, and not only involved in helping us make it happen, but helping us carry the vision as well. Because the day of the dominator model of management is over, isn't it, Mike?
Oh, very much so. Very much so.
And, I mean, the day of demanding people accept our change and make it happen. Those days are gone. That ship has sailed.
Well, from the standpoint of being effective, it is. People don't put up with that anymore. And that's the key to what we're talking about here. And, you know, I'm sure that statement that I just made, people don't put up with that anymore, probably hit some nerves out there and rankle some people who are thinking, well, by gosh, you know, in my organization, people can do what I tell them.
Well, when they say that, Michael, that's a dinosaur waiting to become extinct.
Well, there is, but, you know, they need love, too. And you know, they can recognize as much as anybody, you know, how they resist somebody telling them what to do. And, they, you know, if they do that, maybe they can see it more from the employee's perspective. And, mm-hmm. you know, I believe very much that the more you can simplify, the more you can quantify, the more likely you are to be successful in less time. Mm-hmm. So everything we do tends to look at the situation from that standpoint. Let's simplify this as much as possible. Let's quantify this as much as possible. And, you know, there are two suggestions I have to managers and to entrepreneurs out there who are trying to implement change in their organization. And they both have to do with sensitivity to the needs and the feelings of those employees. And one thing I know as a speaker is that the most powerful way we can reach out from the platform and touch an audience is to tell childhood stories. And the reason is that we've all experienced similar child experiences in childhood.
Mm-hmm.
And so we can relate to that and start to move up into the teenage years and beyond, especially into adulthood, our experiences start to diversify, and so we don't relate. But, you know, when you talk about a kid not being chosen for a baseball team or being chosen last or
right.
not being chosen first, you know, not being chosen first, then you hit the heartstrings of so many people. And so all I'm saying is that as a manager and an entrepreneur implementing change, think about the impact it's having on those employees and put yourself, just think about, you know, how you felt when you were faced with scary things when you were a child and the reactions you had. Now, that is oversimplification, but that's very much what happens to a person facing change.
Well, and if you're a manager and you'll put yourself in that frame of mind, it'll help you to be a little more human, a little more to build a little more humanity into the change that you're going to have to lead and sustain and maintain.
That's exactly right. And if you'll think about it from that viewpoint, you know, when you were a child and somebody forced change on you, you know, who was the most effective?
Mm-hmm.
And it was the person, and who maintained your goodwill and earned your trust and your respect you earned their respect during the process. That was the people who were patient,
yep.
and they took the time and they understood your feelings
and acted like they cared about you.
Let me
throw one other thing out here, Mike. Most changes in our business ultimately affect the customer, who are humans, obviously. And so we've got to make sure that humanity that we just talked about, that it extends beyond our employees to the way we treat our customers with this change.
That's exactly right. The ultimate change, managing change, is the ultimate competitive edge.
Yeah, no question about it. And I think we're going to end on that, Mike. That's a great final statement to make. Thank you very much for being here. Give us your website one more time.
Absolutely. www.mikestewartseminars.com. You mentioned your newsletter. Your readers might be interested in mine. It's called Sales Boosters.
And they can get it at MikeStewartSeminars.com. Thank you, Mike, for being here. We'll see you next time. Got to go. Quick break. I'm Jim Blassingame. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.